Gomez, would you lead us through that simple prayer?
Absolutely. Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am everything it says I am.
I am everything it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
Come on, do it again. I can do everything it says I can do.
Like you believe it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Welcome to Streams of Life. Congratulations to the moms. You made it. Now you got 365 days to wait for it again. Actually, you don't. Husbands, we need to practice honoring our wives as much as possible, especially if we have kids. That way we can teach them. Because the Lord says train them in the way they should go. We can teach them how to honor their moms, honor their wives, honor women in their life properly. Amen? We have traveled a short road to understand about the Word of God working for us. We saw that the Word of God, when it leaves God's mouth, the Holy Spirit is waiting there to make it happen. He's just waiting there to make it happen. And I illustrated this by creation and how the Holy Spirit was already there waiting. God had to speak it. And by His faith, it was. We've learned how powerful it is. We also learned that the Word of God is where we get built up in faith. God has seen to it that we have our faith built in such a way, God bless you, in such a way that if we are small in faith, we can go to His Word and His Word will build our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We also saw that the Word of God shows us the way to salvation, not just getting saved. I want to elaborate a little bit, because all of us are saved. We've committed our lives to Jesus Christ. But in that commitment, God tells us and gives us precious promises how that salvation, we can experience that salvation more so. And too many of God's people curse themselves and keep them under the curse, which Christ died to set us free. He not only paid for our sins, hear me. He not only paid for our sins, He provided a benefit package for us on the cross. And in the weeks, we're going to learn what those benefits are. We're going to appropriate those benefits into our life because God wants us to prosper. As Peter says, as your soul prospers. If you don't know it here, you won't have it in here. God speaks to my spirit to give me revelation. Give me revelation so that my flesh will conform to do the will of God. You can know it, not have it here. And today what I want to do is take a little time to express the importance of feeding our spirit man. If you would put up the first scripture. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. We saw that Christ is the living and enduring Word who took on flesh, who wants to take on your flesh. He dwells in us. And all of us that are born again must learn to deny what the flesh wants and start following after what the Spirit wants. Why? There is a reason why. So that when we're mature, we can have our senses built up to discern good from evil. That is the purpose for us. Not that we become super Christians or whatnot, but really taking a knowledge of good and evil, which was that fruit that was eaten in the garden, and now experiencing from God the reality of this. We have to understand, just like an infant born in the flesh, the first thing that that infant needs is nourishment. I've had two of my own children. I've been in hospitals where babies are born, and the first thing that they want is to eat. Now, some women provide sustenance through mother's milk, and others through the bottles and stuff. Whatever's your proclivity, the fact is that that baby desires to have nutrition. When you are born from above, you are an infant in spirit. And that spirit desires the same thing. I always say, if you can learn the examples of the physical, you will understand the spiritual. And in this case here, if a child in the physical needs to be fed so it can nourish and grow and become that which God has designed for that child's life, so too is the reality of that with our spirit. We need to feed on the Word of God. Next scripture. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I'm going to explain this a little bit about our growth. We've heard terminology about taking off the old man and putting on the new man and all kinds of metaphors like that. But really, what is being said by Peter here is that there's something we've got to get rid of. Five things. Malice, which is hatred towards one another. All kinds of deceit. Lying to each other for our advantage. Hypocrisy, saying one thing and living contrary. Envy, wanting what someone else has. And slander, putting somebody down to build ourselves up. That is the basic understanding of those five words. It is our responsibility to get rid of these things. By that, there is a desire for pure spiritual milk that will develop within us. And in that milk, we can see the Word. We can see the Word. We can read the Word. We can touch it. But until we absorb it, make it part of our life, it will not affect us. Why? Because we've tasted the goodness of God. Tasting the food that God provides, the milk that He provides for us, is the spiritual reality that when we read His Word and we take it inside to our spirit, we immediately put it into practice what God says. We don't sit back and try to think about the Word of God or rationalize why we're not obedient to the Word of God. You have been born from above. And the sustenance that God wants us to have is His Word. Amen? If we're busy about absorbing His Word and putting it into practice, everything is good. We grow. We may not have full understanding yet because that's what milk is. We just want the milk. We just want to read. I can remember when I first got saved, I went through the Bible probably in 6 months and I was built up. I learned things like to have joy is to renew your strength, which God gives, which is in us. I've learned things that if I stay in His Word, I get strength. I grow. Well, if a child who's an infant, the first year or two, is constantly taking in milk. It doesn't care about anything else. It just wants to eat. And we get the privilege of feeding them and cleaning the mess up. Amen? That's just the way of babies. But as that child grows, it wants more. There is a natural desire within each child to want more. And that more is when we see them sitting in the chair, they want to grab that fork or that spoon out of mom's hand or dad's hand to feed themselves. Is that not true? Yeah. Well, it isn't pretty at first because more of it's on them than in them. But they learn how to use the knife and fork, or spoon and fork in this case, so they can ingest the food and grow. You see, as you desire to grow in the Lord, there is a natural desire that comes that you need something more than just reading the Word of God. The Word of God says, study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So study, prayer, interchanging with each other, ironing, sharpening iron, so that we can understand what God is trying to say to us as spiritual babes learning to grow. I know people who have gone to Bible school that are still immature. They've gone to Bible school because they're going to Bible school. I've gone through the school of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to Bible school. We can do these things. We can spend time and drink the Word, have it build us up, and then as we grow, we desire more and more. We begin to start. Next scripture, please. We start to understand this scripture. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, physical bread, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm not going to ask how often you spend time with God, because you put me to shame. I just don't feel that I spend enough time with God. And hopefully you feel the same way. This is how good God is. We can walk and talk with Him every day. Read His Word every day at our leisure. He knows how busy your schedule and my schedule is. But He also knows that He's provided His Word so that you guys can grow up. Bread in old times was eaten at every meal. It was sustenance with the food that they were eating. It helped bring about a balanced diet for those who were partaking of the meal. God has provided for us. He's provided His Word for us. And to live in such a way where we smorgasbord what God wants us to have, if we may read today, we may talk to Him 3-4 days from now, will you grow in that? Yeah, but it'll be slow growth. God mandates and expects us to grow up. You determine how fast that growth will be. You determine, not God. Many of God's children choose not to read His Word, not to talk to Him, not to associate with the body of Christ. Many feel that my life is so busy, I don't have time to do what God wants to do. you got it all wrong. You need to do what God says to do first, and everything else will fall into place. You see, for us to have a balanced diet, next scripture. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In righteousness. Where do you stand with God? I just hit and run? Or do I learn what every doctrine that he wants me to learn so I can be the best servant in the house of God? Hear me correctly. So that I can be the best servant. We're all servants in the house of God. God has given to us various and numerous gifts and talents that are to be used for building the body of Christ, not for ourselves. When I begin to delve into the deeper things, it puts me in right standing with God. Right standing with God is more than righteousness. Although he imparts that, he imputes that to us. But what does righteousness mean to you compared to what God says righteousness is? That's for a study. And as you go deeper into these things, you get built up. You become strong. There's nobody going to tell you something contrary to the Word of God. Have we all been to various meetings where someone is preaching and there's a check in our spirit like something's off? Have we all experienced that? That's our spirit trying to tell us that that's not totally true. We may not know why it's not true. We're just not buying into it. We're polite. We'll let that person continue doing what they're doing. But we're going to search to find out what God says about this subject that they're preaching on. And I tell everyone here, don't take what I say as gospel. Be a Berean. Find out what God says. I can, because I have flesh like you, miss it from time to time. It's not my intention. I want to be as accurate as possible with the Word of God. When we start studying the deeper things of God and really begin to appropriate those things, we will conduct ourselves the way God wants us to conduct ourselves in his house. You see, not only are we his kids, we're his servants too. Now I'll ask all the moms, because they'll tell me honestly. Do our kids come with the knowledge of how to act in every situation? They do not. What must happen for them? They need to be taught. Right. They need to be taught how to act in your house, because there's certain rules that you want for kids to live by so that there's peace in your house. And believe me, I've had a bunch of kids in my house, and sometimes it's not very peaceful. It's not. You know, kids are kids. It's okay. I just walk outside and talk to Father and let kids be kids. But we teach them. That's why the scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. You see, when they're little, we teach them. We don't clamp on them. We don't jump down their throat when they're misbehaving. We take them off the side, away from everyone. And we discuss this. And if it happens numerous times, well then we bring the correction to the seat of understanding so they understand quicker. Right? Next scripture, please. And we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. God expects us to grow up. God expects us to fulfill the commission that He has ordained for men and women. How that works out in your home, that's between the two of you. And there's so much that God gives to us to help us, to direct us, to give us things. But we want to help God. We want to have the compassion for our kids who don't want to do what God says. How's it working for you? They want to live in my house, they have to abide by my rules. That's for any home. Because if you don't, you'll have chaos. God bless you. But solid foods is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good and evil, or good from evil. How many of us are on solid food and we're exercising ourselves to understand and discern the good from evil? Romans 12:2 says, be ye not conformed to this world. That's what I would refer to as, you know, we've got stuff we got to get rid of. But be conformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're living week to week by what I'm going to teach you, then what you're doing is starving your spirit. Or if you just talk to God once in a blue moon, what I refer to as the emergency thing, where we just go up, we break the glass, we get the Bible out, and we start, God, I need your help. I'm in dire straits. How many of us do that? Come on, be honest. I'm the only one that does it? Of course not. We don't wait for that. God has prepared our way. Maturity isn't relegated with your gifts and your talents. It's not relegated whether I prophesy 100 times or someone else hears God and keeps it to themselves. Maturity is whether things are good or things are bad. Everything that God gives to us, everything that He says, all of it, we're to take all of what God says and feed on it, ingest it, apply it, not selective our obedience to it. Because when we stand before Him, He's going to only ask us, why didn't you obey? Why didn't you do what I told you to do? Oh, well, that pastor didn't teach on that. Well, that's not pastor's responsibility. He expects you to grow up. He expects you to start feeding yourself. Imagine for yourself a person who got saved, is a babe in Christ, and for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years in Christ hasn't changed. Hasn't changed one bit. If you ask this individual, give me the simplicity of the doctrine of giving, they couldn't tell you. They've made their own decision about giving. And God has so much to say about being generous and giving. You have to study it. Then you'll understand why things are certain ways of God. We can't continue to live our lives in such a way that it doesn't matter to God. I'm going to live my life. This is my life. He's given it to me. And that's all there's being said. Well, when salvation comes, you may be out of salvation. I don't believe in eternal security. I believe you're only secure with your relationship to Jesus Christ. Just because He's accepted you doesn't mean that you'll make it to the end. How many of us are athletes? I'm the only one again? Come on! What do you guys do? Let's use the metaphor of running a race. Do you run a race and you're almost at the finish line and you quit? Do you get the trophy? This is no. This is yes. If you say yes, you and I need to talk. Really, it's true. I'm not into this thing where everyone gets a trophy. If God says not everyone's going to get the trophy, He means it. It's not how well you start off, it's whether you finish the race or not. And we have to understand there is so much that God wants to do to provide for us everything we need to be a success in this life. And it's contained in His Word. Unfortunately, there are some people who believe contrary to what I'm saying. They don't spend time daily with God. I mean, I look at Enoch. What I want to be is like Enoch. He was walking with God, and then he wasn't anymore. That's how I want my relationship to be with God. And maybe before He takes me off to Hotel 6, maybe I'll have that. Maybe you'll have it. What is your goal? Is your goal just to take up a spot in the chair? Like I said, it has nothing to do with your abilities. God's given them to you to serve others. If you think that the worship team, and I love the worship team. I love our team that God has put together. But if anyone thinks that they're using their gift and talent is enough, needs to talk to God to see what He says. You may be surprised. Then again, you may not. He may be happy with your meager attempt to be pleasing to God. Those who walk this way, in which are dependent upon what I bring forth or someone else brings forth into their life, and don't grow spiritually, it's called arrested development. We arrest what God wants to do in our lives. We may not even do the things that God wants us to do because we have this crazy notion that we're not worthy of God telling us that He's got an awesome plan for our life. No, you're awesome. You are awesome. Anything that God creates is awesome. You have so much value to God that you got to stop thinking about just the little things and start having your mind expand it to the greater possibilities of what God wants to do. What is the vision for your life that God is revealing to you? He's waiting for you to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I trust you enough, God, that I'm going to step out in this thing like Peter stepping out of the boat. Yes, Lord. We've got to stop saying that it's impossible. You just don't understand, Pastor. No, you're the one that doesn't understand. You don't even understand who your Father is and what He has created you for. His plan is so immense, so beautiful, so awesome for you. This is His love story to you, to me. And I love it when God speaks to me. Because then I'm not in a one-way conversation. When God speaks to me, He speaks about things that are coming. He speaks to me about a hope. He speaks to me about life. But if you don't spend time with Him and you don't get to understand who He is, the only experience you will have in God is the ones that you've experienced before you met God. And those experiences God paid for at the cross. Everything is new. He doesn't see you with faults. He doesn't see you with problems. Everything is yea and amen in God. Yea and amen. There's nothing you can't do when God speaks to you. Even blow your nose. Last scripture. Therefore, in some Bibles, therefore, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. It's growing up. Yesterday, and I'm just going to brag on Dan because he's spending time with God. He brought forth an excellent teaching about overcoming obstacles. And overcoming starts with what's in your heart. If you don't believe what God has said, you won't overcome. I believe what God says. I believe in what He says about me. I am the righteousness of Christ in God. I am an overcomer. I am a warrior of the Most High. I am a man of God. I am that I am. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Final thought. You have to carve out in your life time with God. I have people come many times to me, and the first thing is I ask them, how much time do you spend with God? Well, you just don't understand. So, no. Answer the question. How much time do you spend with God? You see, spending time, you find out what your call in life is really about. Spending time seeking His face to take the things that are sinful in my life. If you read Romans 7 and 8, you understand that you do the things that you don't want to do. But you don't do the things that you do want to do. Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin? Christ Jesus. Praise God. And as you spend time with Him, slowly but surely what happens is that hunger and thirst that you had in your life of expecting that you have to do it suddenly changes. God changes it. I was saying to the men yesterday that I used to spend a lot of time working. And then there was a time where I had to make a choice. Am I going to spend a lot of time working my life away to make someone else rich? Or am I going to spend my time doing what God says to do to be rich in Him? And the moment I said that, I'm not going to work overtime. I was asked to work overtime, and the person says, "Are you sure?" And I just said over the radio, two-way radio. I just said to him, I said, "Is the president of the company working?" I made his name known. He said, "No, he's not working." I said, "Neither am I. I'm not working." And that was the night that things changed, really changed. I went to school with Irene and Jesse, and it was an awards banquet, and they had asked Jesse to be there. And of course, they're giving all these awards out to stuff, to kids. And I'm like, man, this is great. Why are they asking Jesse? Well, the last award comes up. And it was for Jess. She wasn't the fastest student. She wasn't the brightest student. She was the consistent student. And they had an award for her. I would have missed that. Hear me. I would have missed that. There's nothing more important than the family of God. Your ministry should be to God first, your family second, and your job is always a third. And if there's other things that come in between that, it keeps moving down the line. I trust God is going to provide. I have faith in God. And you know what? Like I said so many weeks ago, I got His guarantee that everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God goes forth to do what He says to do, and it will accomplish the purpose He sent it. I have His guarantee. Now, it may take time. It may take a little adjusting. As Dan was talking about stewardship, it's not fun when you totally put your life at the hands of an invisible God. And all I know, and I have experiences with God, I can tell you He's real. I can tell you He's alive. I can tell you that His hair is white, that His eyes flame, because I've been with Him. Not that I'm special, but I want to know Him. I want to be known by Him. I want my heart to burn for Him. That should be the desire of His people. If you don't have that desire, repent of it right now. Tell God you're sorry that you don't have a desire. And ask Him to put that into you. You have it already. It's just that He's got to remove that clutter. Or as we like to say, He takes the debris out of Jacob's well. If you know the story of Jacob's well. When they open up his wells, that would have been all the people who didn't like Jacob. They took all the junk out of it so that they could have clean water. Am I right? You know I'm right. I study to show myself approved. I just want to pray a blessing on you guys. All of us are spiritual people. All of us have a different relationship with God. All I'm trying to do is show you there is nothing to be afraid of. Go for broke. Don't let your spouse, if you're married, hinder you Irene got a word of advice many moons ago from a woman who said to her, Gary will only go as far as you let him go. She took her hands off and said, do it, God. And she got a new husband out of it. She got a man of God. Do you want to be a man of God? Do you want to be a woman of God? That is the greatest honor that can be bestowed. Our wives, our moms, our women, they're handmaidens of the Lord that He wants to honor so much. All you got to do is spend time with God and watch what He does. Watch what He says. The only excuse that God will accept for not being where He wants us to be is death. Well, I died, God. My word says, the absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. So even that doesn't work. We fill our lives with a whole bunch of needless stuff. And stuff is nice. But if that stuff has got you, you're in trouble. God promises to take care of us. Have you received that promise for yourself? Because after all, it's your choice. Father, I just pray blessings upon the moms today again, asking that you fill them richly. I pray for your people, Father, that you supernaturally impart to them the grace of being your kid. And understand that being your kid doesn't give us rights or privileges. It just gives us the right to become your child. That's what Jesus did. If we believe. Father, expand their belief. Expand their vision to see the greater things that you have for them. Don't just be limited by the here and now. Begin to look to the future. For that's where your hope lies. God, take the faith that we have, make it strong. So that when you come back, you will see faith on the earth. And that you be honored above all others. Father, I thank you for this message, and I thank you that you have given us your life. Help us to sustain it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.